Thomas Fricke is a physicist, and when he's not giving lectures about thermodynamics, he's on the road in cloud security and the security of the design environment of critical infrastructure. The reactivation of old nuclear power plants isn't enough to slate the thirst of AI for resources. Thomas will tell us more about the devastating consumption of data centers used for AI. Let's have a huge round of applause for Thomas.
Yeah, thank you. And actually, I'm part of this group, so you might have seen this talk about the electronische Patientenakte, and so these are people I like to work with. Personally, I mostly do cloud security at the moment, and this giving lectures on thermodynamics and statistical physics is 30 years ago, but I just remember the main things. So, okay, let's start. What is a data center? You think we have this nice picture on the bottom right. This is what you see in presentations. And effectively, everything is shiny, everything is nice. But in reality, it's a little bit different because data centers are more or less huge factories for producing computing power and storage and networks. So here you see the on the left side, upper row, this is Frankfurt, Eschborner Landstraße, and you see here a lot of data centers in parallel. On the left side of the main street, you see Amazon. On the right side, you see NTT, formerly known as eShelter. Google was in these buildings. And this is effectively some kind of, yeah, if you would compare to a bakery where somebody delivers breads, then this is a data center and the breads are racks of servers. If you go into that region, you see all the time vans appearing and then a new computing rack is delivered and you have a lot of power delivered immediately. On the right side, you see Berlin-Spandau. There you see a power plant. It's a coal power plant. And on the right side of the picture, you see Finanzamt Spandau. And in the second row, there's a data center. Data centers have special requirements. They need energy. They need water. They need a network. But they also need diesel for the generators if something happens, and they are highly protected factories. So you normal, and this is all public by NTT, normally they are protected against a van of 40 tons, and the reception is behind a glass which is approved up to Kalashnikov guns to hold, and that you don't simply can run into a data center and take it over. This is a planning from some data center around Berlin. This is how these factories in the futures will look like. So just to give you an impression what a data center is, in the case you imagine, oh, this is a nice blinking area of computer. Yes, but they are a little bit different. So data centers are factories, and they consume energy. And the average is hard to tell. In Germany, it starts with small data centers, 12 megawatt. And in Berlin, it goes up to 40 megawatt at the moment. And there are data centers planned in the city of Berlin, which will have the energy consumption of 300 megawatts in Berlin-Lichtenberg. You need diesel for the emergency power generators. Normally you have one day of diesel there, and then you need transport capacity. This special data center in Spandau has three points of access, two from the street and one from the water, so you can deliver in a case of a riot, and they plan for riots, delivery of oil by tank ships. This is a little bit unusual, but normally you only have delivery by vans, but yeah, this is a special location in Berlin. And what they also need is they need transformer stations. You cannot simply go and plug something into your power line and get 300 megawatts. You need transformer stations, which have to be built. This means you start in the 110 kilovolt range, and then the transformer transforms it into the energy which is needed. I've tried to estimate the total consumption in the Berlin-Brandenburg area, and if I sum it up, it's in Berlin around 900 megawatts. And what happens around Berlin is roughly estimated in another gigawatt. So I think they plan for 1 to 2 gigawatt of data centers. This is a lot. And if you want to cool it, you need water, and you have to cool the water, and you need to transport the water. So you need somehow a river. Typically, you have several billions of dollars in a server. Typical rack, if you estimate it, is about 900,000 euros. And you have several thousand of these racks. So the investment in the hardware in a data center, if it comes to racks, is several billion. We are talking about billion of euro. You need also access to multiple redundant fiber lines. In Germany, typically, you have 2x Telekom, Vodafone, Colt. You need access control. I just mentioned the glass entrance. And data centers can be really noisy. If you ever entered a data center, the noise inside the server rooms is not like here. This is not a simple silent room, but this is 90 dB plus. So it's a huge, noise. Just to mention, the roof is completely unprotected. So they are heavily protected from the streets and on land, but not from the roof. If you look what is using power in a typical data center, this has not changed much. The servers take 43%, but cooling and power provision is another 43%. Storage drives 11%, and the network is only 3%. I just gave you a hint where I copied the sources. And this energy, if it has computed something, is completely wasted normally. This has not changed much in the last 10 years. And you can cool in different ways. One way is simply take the water, evaporate it, and this is how you can get nice looking numbers, but the actual way of cooling means you need to recycle the water, and then you have immersion cooling or adiabatic cooling, and this adds some extra energy on that. Now, this happened. This is a picture from OpenAI. Here we see the demand of training and running neural networks from the 60s, and this is more or less until 2016. It's completely covered by Moore's law. So you get the efficiency improvement in processors, and this could be consumed completely by the need. And then something happened, and this is a logarithmic scale, so then the exponent has raised to 3.6. So there is, Moore's law means you have double computing power every 2 years, and here we have doubled the computing power every 3.4 months. This means in 2 years you get an increase of nearly a factor of 64. And here are the early calculations, and this means effectively what we see here is an explosion in the demand of energy. And explosion means this is a real explosion, and if a physicist talks about an explosion, we mean exponential growth. So you normally have this in explosives, nuclear chain reactions, population growth, infections, but this is normally limited by resources. If we look into the prediction, so this is quite an actual picture from May 2024. These are the predictions from the Electric Power Research Institute in the US, and the US government is basing their decisions on these projections. And here you see in the year 2000, nothing happens, and we have internet business started, a slight increase until 2005, and then more or less Moore's Law helped us to keep the energy consumption more or less constant. And we are now here in 2024, and here you have several scenarios from low growth to higher growth. And the higher growth scenario means we have an increase of 15% every year. And this means in the year 2030, in the US, 9% of the energy will be consumed by data centers. These are the predictions, and this will have consequences. This is a fivefold increase in a few years. And yeah, the American power grid is not prepared for this. And now all the AI people have met with the US government, and the decisions we see is, we need this because otherwise the Chinese will take over. There's a lot of fear of missing out. So if we don't do it, we are behind. If the Chinese do it, we will lose the next world war. We need the US leadership in the area. We have the same discussions in Europe. We have the US government. This is a linchpin of our economy. We need an AI New Deal. Okay, and then nuclear power to the rescue. This is what they talk about, and this means we are not talking about the good old nuclear power plants like they are running in France, but this small modular reactor. So you see they are all green. This is a prediction. NuScale went bankrupt in between and is doing now solar and wind power. This would be a 77 megawatt unit. You need 4 to 12 units, but effectively this is too expensive. And on the other side, you see another company. This is where they got a contract with Amazon. This is more or less high temperature helium cooled reactor, uranium-235 enriched pebbles. So these, you have these balls. We tried this in Ham-Üntrop and it did not went well. This power plant can be shipped with trucks, 60 years of usage. The typical unit has 80 megawatt, you need four of them. And then next problem comes because we don't have the uranium for it. Even I would say I like nuclear power, I don't do this. We don't have enough uranium for this. It's under Russian control mostly. It's extremely hard to mine. It's definitely... it kills the environment, and if you build something which can be transported on a truck, you always have the problem of proliferation. You simply can take the uranium and do something unexpected with it. So here is a fact sheet, and the main paper, you can use it, and you can read it using archive.is. Is from Bloomberg. Bloomberg is more or less the operating system of American capitalism. And if they have a doubt on that, then this is a serious doubt. This means every hyperscaler, so Google, Amazon, and Microsoft, would need more or less 5 gigawatts. This, if I count right, these are 150 of these small and medium reactors. We don't have prototypes in the Western world. There are two in China, one in Russia, so this is, it should be two in China. We have none in the US or the EU for a reason. Otherwise, if we want to run it in Germany, we have to reopen Wismut, which is probably one of the worst ideas we could have. And there are lots of articles, small and medium, small modular reactors have a big problem. And then you can go through it, and then the companies who run this, Pacific Gas and Electric, it's the same company who cannot deliver energy in California in a stable way. Another fact on the right side is these data centers give you only a small number of jobs. So they are not the job machine everybody hopes for. And as in Germany, they are also in the US extremely unequally distributed, mainly Chicago region, Texas, Virginia. And then Biden, one of the last decisions was they want to allow AI data centers on federal lands, which probably means this is land for used for producing food or something like this. We have the same problem in Europe. The worst outcome has been in Ireland. Ireland in this moment already has 20% of its electricity consumption for data centers. So Ireland cannot increase the electricity consumption to 100%, then there would be no energy left for anything else. So this is just to give you a reality check by the numbers, which you can find in publications. What you also know and you can do is, on the other side, this is remote fusion, so just solar energy and wind. And the pricing is collapsing exponentially. If you take into account also storage costs, then this will definitely be much cheaper than building uranium and other power plants. So then we have, at the moment we have a race, which how fast we can deliver it. So this is the situation we see in the moment. Here's a comparison of that. And what I did not mention so far is the stock for uranium at the moment. Under the current consumption of uranium for the existing power plants will be extinct somewhere in 130 years or in 60 years. And if they increase the consumption of uranium, they will run out of uranium in 12 years. So this was the energy, and now the next thing is water. How is the data center cooled? There is this nice picture from this publication. You see, normally you need some kind of off-site water, then you have a cooling tower, you have a heat exchange which needs 30% extra energy, and then if you need to, additionally, if you need water cooling because your AI racks are consuming typically 100 kilowatts per rack, then you have another 30% of for this water cooling. It's extremely hard to find numbers how much water is really consumed. It also depends on the weather. So the guesses are 1 to 9 liters of water per kilowatt hour. And this means just around 3 kilowatt hour might be an assumption where you have a very efficient data center. And there's a lot of greenwashing here. So here's the definition of the PUE value, data center total energy consumption to the equipment energy consumption. And Google is very happy to tell you, yeah, we are very low here, 1.06. But this is a lie. This means they evaporate the water and don't recycle it. And this is the reason why this diagram for Microsoft and Google is so different and they report so different values for their energy consumption. So Google is tricking you into believing, yeah, we can recycle everything, everything is green. If you compare, so this is a typical NVIDIA H100 Hopper graphics card. Against the legacy model you have all in your head. These are, it's the size of a hand. This is 700 watts and you need several thousands of them, and your brain only consumes 20 watts. If you compare it on in a way that you count every transistor could be a synapse, which is what a neuron really is, then you need 10,000 H100 to simulate a brain. And then you have 7 megawatt for instead of 20 megawatt. And you, if you add cooling, network, transport, storage, you have more or less around 50 to, it's a guess, 50 to 140 megawatt to emulate a brain. And this is why Matrix is using humans to live in. So if you look in... Oh, the screen is... Oh.
So we seem to be experiencing some chaos on day four. In the meantime...
Okay, do we have a problem with... Where's the problem?
Yep. No, it's not your laptop, it's our problem.
Okay.
So in the meantime, let's have a little bit of interaction with the audience.
Yeah.
So audience, how many of you, show of hands please, have asked ChatGPT a question? Ever? How many of you have asked ChatGPT a question today?
Okay.
So based on the consumption of ChatGPT, you've consumed more energy today than the projector and all the lights in the building. And if you look at the graphs that were shown, how many of you have a good innate understanding of exponential things? And anyone who raises it, I don't believe you. People are terrible at exponential logarithms. So let's get a round of applause for the projector.
Yeah. We are back.
A round of applause for our speaker. Fight the case.
Okay, let's continue. It's even getting worse. So these are the predictions for AI waste. So all these nice looking H100 for a price of 32,000 euro will turn into waste after 3 to 5 years. This is a typical life cycle in a data center. And this means if you look into it, these are papers from Nature, and there's a article from Deutsche Welle about this. This means a thousandfold increase of waste. This is not 1,000%. This would be only a factor of 10. This is a thousandfold increase until 2030. And this means we have a real problem here, because we also have a problem with something which is getting more and more rare. This is copper. What we did not mention at the moment are the metal consumption. So I only focus on copper because I found quite good number. 1 megawatt of a data center needs an investment of 27 to 33 metric towers. So you can calculate with 30 metric tons of copper. There was an article in Data Center magazine about this, and this is a prediction of the International Energy Agency about copper. And here you see the upper line is the demand, the predicted demand, and the bars are the expected mining of copper. You see there is a gap. We don't have that copper at the moment. And copper mining copper is an extremely disastrous event for the environment. It is mostly delegated to indigenous people, because nobody is mining copper in countries where you can avoid it. So these are a number of thumb rules. So 1 megawatt turns into 27 tons of copper and might be turned into 1,000 up to 9,000 liters per hour. Anything else is, we are competing a lot with other industries, and this means we would increase the prices for these industries. This impact on the environment means we have local impact, and definitely people will protest locally, but the impact on the environment in other countries only can be branded as neocolonialism. So this go through the entire, to the entire story. Even we see even connections between Amazon and Google and some illegal gold mining companies in Brazil. So there's a lot of things which would deserve it to be in, to investigate it, really. And yeah, do we have alternatives? Yes, we have at least neuromorphic computing, but this came not out of the universities. It could save 25% in an exponential increase. This means this only gives you a certain amount of time. There's also a way of doing it with normal hardware, silicon hardware with integers, so you could save 95% of the energy. You could reuse the heat. This is going on. This happens already in Berlin, so NTT is delivering the heat to the Gazak, and they have they are heating homes for this. And what we see here is, even if we would do this, we touch all the limits of energy, water, metal, and carbon dioxide with this. This means we have to think about degrowth, and we have to think about this quite rapidly. There is a book from Kohei Saito, who wrote a book about the degrowth manifesto, Slow Down, and we have to apply this more or less to our technology, to the data centers. If we don't do it, this exponential growth will kill us, and it's hard to predict which border will touch first, so it could kill our energy, our economy, our energy grids, our environments, the entire planet, because all limits are nearly exhausted. If we would apply degrowth, this would also kill nearly all of our business models. So advertising, these surveillance models, these sales without limits, keeping people busy with shit, and anything which this kind of growth means, yeah, we would kill this part of our economy, but this will be killed anyway with unlimited growth. And the reason for this, we are using, this is according to Kohei Saito, a lot of externalities. So this is more or less a bad bank of our thinking. We are externalizing things to the environment, to the future, to colonies. Men are externalizing problems to women, to every minority, from the able to the disabled people, from the represented to the unrepresented, even to, you can even extend this to animals and the proxy fighters. This is, by the way, in opposite of the to the orthodox Marxism, where they only consider the main contradiction of capital accumulation, and then they have the secondary contradictions, and you have they have lots of frictions in their theory. So the socialist movement has a lot of struggle at the moment and is divorcing all the time. One of the older thing was that they considered the women problem as a secondary contradiction, and this does not really work. It is quite. It would be deserve another talk, but I'm running out of time. So I gave this talk on Halloween, some version of this in Dublin, and Halloween you need some kind of spectra, and this is what my collapse is. You can use a lot of theories from Marx, because Kohei Saito has an argument Marx was actually in his later life a green, never made it into his books, but they think they have a lot of letters for this. And on the other side, we don't want the Communist Party, believe me. We are not working class. Revolutions are not successful except after wars, and I don't want a war. But externalization is real. The concentration of power is real. We see it here at the moment. Capitalism is turning into feudalism. We need kind of degrowth communism. We already started with this. With collaboration, open source and Wikimedia are examples for that. But only the privileged can participate in that. And we have to apply it to the data center context, so environment, supply chains, and so on. I already mentioned it. And we need the green tech anyway, but the green tech will not save us. So we need it to prevent the collapse, but it will not be sufficient. If you look now into the upcoming changes, you will see everywhere, every politician is doing this. Yes, fear of moving out. We see this Department of Government Efficiency run by a tech billionaire. This will be abused to remove the environmental protections. This is a forecast I can give for sure, and it depends on us if the European Union or on Germany will follow. And we already have things pending. So if a data center is planned in your neighborhood, ask for the resource consumption, but not only for the local consumption of energy and water, also for the global consumption. There's an immediate warning for the Cologne area, where Microsoft will create huge data centers, and they have all these arguments. Yes, we create jobs, and somebody told me, yeah, but the energy providers cannot provide enough power for this data center. This means that after a while, they will discuss if the coal mining in the region simply continued, and this will mean if the whatever, if the Green Party in North Rhine-Westphalia is leaving or something is happening, somebody will definitely propose to continue with coal mining. So the conclusion is, don't believe the AI bullshit bingo. For 1970, Marvin Minsky predicted that AI will take over everything until the end of the decade. The resource consumption is total out of control. This is not my wording. You see it, and here you see a plot. If the venture capital collapses first, the lower line you see the Cisco stocks, and on the upper line you see plotted the Nvidia stocks. And this would be the easiest way, but this would more or less create a major financial crisis. It's hard to predict if this will end this way, or if they can create a politics which will support them further. There's a lot of charlatanry. Some Green members of European Parliament told me, yeah, the nuclear industry is using the same scam methods AI is using to the public, to the data center people, and they effectively did scam the scammers and have a massive financial interest. So the public protest is definitely needed. And this is what I wanted to tell you. You can scan this QR code, then you get the slides. Verse for further reading is here on the links. Gary McGovern is very busy on giving toots on Mastodon, Paris Marx always, and with a different focus, my Halloween talk from Dublin. And the book of Kohai Sato in an earlier version is on archive.org, Marx in the Anthropocene. Read it critically, but it has a lot of good ideas. Okay, thank you for me. It was a pleasure. And I will be around the whole day. If you want to contact me, just let me know.
Thank you so much, Thomas. We do have some time for questions. If we are efficient, we can ask more. I will start from the front this time.
How to look for allies in the parties which exist on the spectrum in Europe, that you can say, or otherwise which movements should, which connection can be made? And second sub-question?
First, only one question.
Obviously, the Green Party, if they survive all these elections, but if you look into the business cases, every party should be interested in having a real discussion if data centers really give you jobs and if you want to waste the environment this way, or you want to save at least 90% of this nonsense.
So we do have a signal angel. That means if you are in the internet watching this talk, you can ask a question. I see the signal angel, in fact, does have a question. So, from the internet.
Yeah, the internet is asking if there is a rule of thumb about how many jobs are created with the construction of a new data center.
Then it's constructed and then it stays there. And then there was this slide from Bloomberg estimation here. And this means they invested 468 million in data centers and they only got 339 jobs. So this means 1.4 million per job. And I would invest it in different jobs. Simply.
And Danke.
I think in Germany it's similar. There are not a lot of people in the data center.
Hi. Here. So thank you for your talk. I'm here talking. Yes. Okay. So it was really good. I waited a bit for the mining part. When you said that there were no consumption for renewable energy, I was a bit pissed because after you mentioned copper, and you're totally true. I wanted to say also Gramsci, Antonio Gramsci, is a very good reference about Marxism, quite more actual. And so my question would be, how can we, you know, computer professionals, scientists, or people around, you know, geek, nerds, act, you know, in our fields to make the situation better?
You have to analyze the pattern. Why are we using so much computing power? Because you get incentives for using computing power. Google and Amazon and Microsoft want you to use much computing power because this is their business model. But effectively, you also have in your projects what I call this kind of server machism. The team which uses the most servers is the most important, brilliant team, and they get the most money and the most attention. If you only say, yeah, we can solve this problem using a Raspberry Pi and use SQLite as a database, we don't need a Kubernetes cluster with 10 HBase servers. This is something I have experienced in my projects. This means, yeah, if you can do it on a Raspberry Pi, this cannot be a serious project. So if you need, whatever, 10 servers for that, then you are definitely a tough guy and have a tough team and can manage it. So this, I call it server machism. This is in one of my other talks, but this is, nobody has really invested it. Try to stay away from this more or less project anti-pattern of using more and more resources.
I have to admit, I have a certain fun of running my machine as fast as possible. But to my, you probably have to, but to my serious question, you mentioned the energy use in running the servers. Do you have any estimate how much is the percentage of the use for producing the servers? Oh, is it like a quarter? Is it like more production than actually running? Or what's the relationship?
This is hard to say because the newer ones are more efficient, so it shifts more or less from... you have to do a full calculation, and definitely creating an NVIDIA H100 card is you need the entire infrastructure of a planet to build this graphics card. So this is the highest technology we have at the moment. And this means they also consume a lot of resources, but the resources are not, the data is not public, so we don't know, we only can estimate it. I would think, I have no real number at the moment, more than half is used for production.
So keeping the nature alive in good health is a conservative value. Why the conservatives are against here? Which card can we play not to become conservatives in the values or in their sense, but in the environment health sense?
Because the conservatives are not really conservatives. They are all the conservative parties explain that they know how to run the government for how it's good for the economy. There are a lot of legends in Germany, for example, this the Christian Democratic Party invented after the Second World War the German economy, Wirtschaftswunder, the thing. If you look into the data, the data does not yield this. So it's a legend. They tell you a legend, and I've experienced, I worked with the German government, and then, we have this opportunity to build our own data center, and then a contract with Amazon, 260 million euro from the BMI, building these data centers. Olaf Scholz appeared at this Microsoft area in Köln-Bentheim. So it's definitely not, they are definitely not protecting our business and our economy. They think they are doing it probably, if I assume that they are goodwill, but effectively, if you see some old man immediately gets access to the chancellor, and then he spreads this fear of missing out, oh, Germany should not stay behind the Chinese and the US. So this is just propaganda, and you have to deconstruct this way of propaganda and explain it to your local politicians. This is not the case. We will not have much jobs of it, and we will harm the environment.
Then let's give Thomas once more a fantastic round of applause. Thank you, Thomas.
Thank you.